This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Welcome in Friday edition of Old School. 3 hours till the weekend. 3 hours. That's all it is. A little more than 3 hours till college football playoff action, if my math is correct. We'll talk a little bit about that game and plenty more here on the show. I'm Austin Norman, joined, as always, my left in person, your right on stream, by Husker Hall of Famer, 8-year NFL vet, Jay Foreman. Jay, we did it. We outran that hawk. That wind was nasty yesterday,
man.
but we made it out.
Yeah, out west, they said it was 100-mile-an-hour winds, right? They shut down the highway. And
I missed that.
Yeah, we had some, dang. I mean, probably gusts, I mean, obviously, but still, enough is enough, man. When you're driving down your street and you're dodging trash cans, you know, you something out of the movies. But, yeah, a little bit better temperatures. Sun is out, so we're probably only down to about 20-mile-an-hour gusts. So I think we're living good right now.
Which is normal.
Yeah, it's normal.
I was always the kid, I'm sure this will not shock you, but, you know, elementary school, middle school especially, I was always the kid getting asked, are you going to blow away in the wind?
Oh.
that was me. Carry that backpack. Push next to books in there so don't blow away.
Hey, man. If you got one of those tall U-Haul trucks or something, trucks like that, today is not a day that you – that's a full-arm workout and chest workout, too. You don't have to be Billy Blanks and doing those tie bow or nothing. You got to be just trying to keep the steering wheel tight and straight.
The tall – trucks, obviously, even my like sedans, I've had to do that sometimes because it's just not that big a car.
Yeah, just however they're built or constructed, it, you know, makes it a little bit different. But
it's the crosswind. Crosswinds are the ones that kill you.
Yeah, and then when you're, you know, coming through like here buildings, and then you get a little bit of opening.
Woo!
Yeah, you better be on point. You better be on point.
What you got to be on point on as well this day and age, the transfer portal. Matt Rhule made some comments about that, what he's looking for out of his offense moving forward. We'll get into that. Sounds like a Husker defender will be entering the transfer portal as well. We will touch on that coming up in our next segment. Heck of a game in Thursday night football last night, and some interesting comments from Kyle Whittingham, not only here on the station during early break, but to other outlets as well. 402-464-5685. If there's anything on your mind, hit us up. Love to hear from you. That is our starter, Heyman Jewelers. Text line. This is Old School, brought to you by the Mercado, by Certified Piedmontese. Today's a Fired Up Friday's over, but don't forget Thursdays and Fridays, they have their Fired Up days at Mercado East and Mercado North. Check out the menu, themercadobutcher.com. All right, Jay, Matt Rhule spoke earlier today to the media. Was asked about the run game and, you know, what he thought went well for Nebraska. And he said he thought the run game did well with inside zone and duo. He wants to beef up counter blocking for 2026. And then here's the money quote. The quote that I think is something we've mentioned and will really set the direction for the future of the program. I think moving forward, we'd like to have quarterbacks who are able to add in the run game, sort of like Haynes King was able to do at Georgia Tech. We spent a couple days speculating on it. Just took till the next time we heard from Matt Rhule in that formal setting. Sounds like Nebraska is headed in the direction of a more mobile quarterback to pilot the offense moving forward.
Yeah, and I think... you know, I think it's being situationally, I think maybe is the better word or whatever, mobile or effective in the run game. That's that's the most dangerous. I mean, number one, playing quarterback, you got to play pitch and catch. You got to be able to throw the ball. But I think situational quarterback scrambles and then situational kind of, I guess, conventional adding into the run game. Then we'll open up your true conventional run game and your pass game. So that's the way it's going. You know, I don't think it's a direct pivot from Dylan. I think it's like, you know, when Dylan was right, early in the season. I think he was moving better. But I also think you have to have experience doing that as well. Mm-hmm. I think there's more quarterbacks that can actually be effective in the, what I like to call off schedule run game or on schedule. I think the QB draw was calculated that Bryce Underwood did against us. They knew we were in man and we were running a game, and it was a parting of the Red Sea. 36, 39 yards later, he's in the end zone. But I think there's more quarterbacks that can do it. I think one of the things that hurts a lot of quarterbacks by doing it now is because you go back to when Taylor Martinez came on the scene. There, you know, it was probably the apex of it, the RPO, right? Mm-hmm. People didn't know how to defense it until you seen Bama and they ran man. But then it's been the explosion of 7-on-7 that takes away from it, mm-hmm. you know, because now these quarterbacks are trying to sit back in the pocket and they'll keep dropping back. They're trying to showcase their arm. Well, mm-hmm. when you get into college, you got defensive ends that can run 4.6s and 4.5s. They're quick as a cat, and they're running 5 defensive backs and or 4 and a high, whatever you want to call it. And linebackers are smaller. Now you have to be very strategic in it, and you have to have experience in it. And it can't be, I'm just going to do it as I'm like going through the motions. You get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So, but it gives you maybe a glimpse into, I think their ideal quarterback, oddly enough, would be the intermediate to medium accuracy and acumen of Dylan, and the pure running ability of your boy Jeff Sims when he was not running scared.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
And then you combine them, obviously. Okay. Now, see, you got to be able to throw deep.
So what you're saying is Nebraska's looking for 2018 Adrian.
No, Adrian could throw the ball deep.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But the intangibles are the most important.
Oh, see, yeah.
Like, all that stuff is great, right? You can get them. But you have to have somebody when they step in that huddle, it's on. And that's why I'll tell anybody. You want to see how to play the quarterback position? Look at young Dan Marino. He commanded. He pimped the whole game.
There's a difference between being in the huddle, directing the huddle, and commanding the huddle.
And this is back when he was more athletic and he was fast. You know, mm-hmm. back if you watch him against Georgia when he was at Pitt, they had, you know, Mark May and all those guys. I mean, he could run it. Mm-hmm. You know, at times, you know, when Tom Brady was at his thing, he would get you in those sneaky kind of like sneaks on that. And obviously, I think you want somebody a little bit more athletic, but
like Peyton.
Yeah, Peyton. I mean, listen, this is one thing about Peyton. People think Peyton, just because he looks awkward, he's built funny, right?
He's all forehead.
Yeah. He's actually 6'1". That forehead make him 6'5". I should be saying about it. You know, but he's fast, though. He's faster than what people give him credit for.
Sneaky fast, sneaky athletic.
And obviously before he, you know, got a little bit older, but like John Elway.
Yeah. Remember him? Baseball guy.
Yeah, but look at the way before he, you know, kind of got, you know, he was taking a lot of hits and all that. But when he would run, if you look at the drive or the drives when he was at Denver, and he could throw on the run and he would kill you. And it puts a lot more stress on defense. It makes them guess a lot more. And, you know, I guess, you know, as you can see, and now everybody's going to have a new top 10 list of who Nebraska's going to get. Look, you just got to get the guy that you want that fits your system, and you make, and he has to make it great, and the coaches have to make it just as equally great. Mm-hmm. Because you've seen, you know, if you want to, you know, obviously Kirk Cignetti in Indiana. Yeah, Mendoza was one of the top guys in there, but he wasn't the sexiest pick. Mm-hmm. Right away. Yep. Got him. Was it Brosner?
Max Brosmer.
He's quick. PJ Fleck, right? Everybody else, like, once you have a guy that you know that you want,
go get him.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it generally works out pretty well. And it worked out well. Like, you got Dante Moore in Oregon. I mean, that was kind of a situation. Chip Kelly left. He was willing to go wait. And, you know, but it's out there.
Do you think it's easier to find that dual threat guy than it is the true pocket guy for college football nowadays, or is it still easier to find the pocket first guy?
I think it's easier to find the pocket guy first because you do so much 7-on-7. The dual threat, the true dual threat.
Yeah.
And I
guys that are credible.
And I don't even like dual threat because I think dual threat, you automatically think runner.
Run first.
I think you need a guy that can be, I guess, dually, like, excel in both. Mm-hmm. That's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard, man.
Lamar Jackson's aren't on every street corner.
It's hard.
And Josh Allen's aren't on every street
corner. Yeah, that's hard. I mean, because you have to have, well, number one, if you're going to run true RPO, you have to be really, really good out there on the edges blocking. And you got to be able to make some plays and because that's going to open up the lanes. I'm trying to think. I mean, you got to think recently the closest one that was probably a real problem was like Justin Fields.
Yeah.
In college was a problem, like a serious problem.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was like, he was just out there just doing his thing. Mm-hmm.
Cubsker throws out, what about like a Russell Wilson type?
Yes. I said that plenty of times. Russell Wilson, when his mind was right, when he was in Seattle and they were doing their thing, or a peak Aaron Rodgers. Now that's Hall of Famer. Let's just, it's saying Russell Wilson is too, but yeah.
Alex Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. Late.
Young, late. Yeah.
Well,
he could move a little bit at Utah.
Yeah. He can move a lot of bit at Utah. I'm just talking about once he went to the Chiefs in his last year with the 49ers to the Chiefs, he was a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
I felt like.
Yeah.
So him and Aaron Rodgers and Russell, that's where you're at. That's what the Giants want Jackson Dart to be.
But instead, he's really run first.
No, he thinks he's Tim Tebow. And he's going to be doing the same thing Tim Tebow's doing, calling games. He's going to be put to sleep real soon.
Do you think Jackson Dart can get that jacked, though?
He's got to get on that special diet that Tim Tebow's on.
Right.
Yeah. Now he got married and stuff. He about to go into dad body.
Dad strength. Yeah.
Yeah, you ain't lifting that yet. Yeah, you don't got all that pent-up energy no more, player.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, those type of guys, I mean, it's – But yeah, they're great to want and hard to go get. But then also, I think you can develop it as well, as long as you are very strategic and, you know, do the things you need to do to get them right. But you definitely got to. But you got to have a good running game off of that.
Absolutely, and that's where I think it's almost even more impressive what Nebraska did in the run game, especially at a shotgun. I mean, they were pretty good under center; it looked pretty good at times, but. There's been this issue with the Chiefs. The people a lot smarter than me have pointed out is that the Chiefs are still so married to shotgun run, but without the threat of the quarterback actually keeping it, mm-hmm. which simplifies and pares things down for the defense, especially when you can commit guys to the box because you're not scared of guys beating you over the top.
Yeah,
you know, it's all kind of compounded for the Chiefs, but that's where with Dylan Raiola not being a running threat, sure, he kept it a couple times early in the year, and that really dwindled by the time you hit Big Ten play. Teams knew when Nebraska lined up in shotgun, they had a better idea, you know, what the run options were. And the fact that Emmett was still able to have the year that he was with that element of predictability out of the shotgun, I think speaks to, you know, maybe underrating the offensive line in some areas and just how good Emmett was.
Interior blocking, they were pretty good.
Sure. There you go. And so now with a truer dual threat guy, maybe that frees some stuff up in the run game as well. And Jay, that's where I want to maybe turn our attention a little bit to. I like the idea of having that identity, right? Okay, go identify that dual threat guy to, you know, either beat out TJ Lateef or certainly compete with him. TJ Lateef talked today as well, said the right things about not being scared of competition, competed my whole life and what have you. I'm not sure where in the market Nebraska is going to be, right? I don't know if there's another, you know, Mark Gronowski type out there for Nebraska to take a flyer on, a guy coming up from the mid-major FCS level. But if you look at On3's top 10 quarterbacks in the portal, I think Sam Levitt fits that mold, arm first, but can move a little bit. Yeah. Mestemaker, true pocket guy, Sorsby, I think still leans to that run first sort of quarterback when you think of a dual threat. I think he's probably better with his legs than his arm, even though he's got a good arm. They have Dylan at number four, Hoover's more pocket, Lagway. We'll see. Is Lagway the new Jeff Sims type? Is that kind of what you're looking at when you're scouting him?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to see where you got to check his temperature, like where he's at, you know, like, I mean, obviously you want to make sure.
I'm not saying for Nebraska, just in terms of like archetypes of players.
Yeah. I mean, that's why he was he not the number one guy?
He was around there. Yeah, certainly
him and Dylan, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's what you get. I mean, he has plenty of arm strength. You can pick him up, put him down, and that's what you want. But I think what people don't understand is like, these dudes just don't, they're just not on like, out there just walking the street. I think you have to get better no matter what quarterback or what type of quarterback you are. You have to constantly want to improve. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. because it's not going to be easy, because you have to maybe take a step back to take three forward. So, you know, I think, let me see. Yeah, I think Lagway, I'm trying to think, you know, remember the TCU quarterback when they first jumped out there, you know, against North Carolina?
Oh, yeah.
Like him, big arm, big, tall in the pocket, extremely accurate out on the outer thirds. But he did enough in the run game to really, really open up the conventional run game.
Yeah.
You know, I like them. You know, I mean, there's plenty out there. You just kind of, okay, what, like you said yesterday, what you got to find, out who you are, like what you want to be.
Yeah.
And it's not just we want to be physical. Okay, do we want a physical running quarterback, or do we want a situational, like, running quarterback? Do we want to be heavy in the run game, or have the ability to be heavy in the run game? That where you look at Sorsby against us in the first game, it was pretty much all him, and they probably left a lot of meat on the bone against our defense in the conventional run game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you got to look at it like, you know, and then I think also you want to have somebody that can change, not change, but you can adjust to either week to week and maybe sometimes year to year, because let's just say, you know, you're like, let's take Cincinnati. Right? Sorsby threw for a whole bunch of yards last year. Not this year, but last year. Or he did this year too. But, you know, coming into it, you look at his stats from last year.
Yeah.
All those guys are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have somebody that maybe you have to, you know, always say, like, carry the water up the steep side of the hill until the passing game gets going on. And that's what they did. And then obviously they ran into a little bit of, you know, speed bumps later in the year. So you got to have some versatility. And I also think the better in you become across the line, in both lines, obviously, but in particularly offensive line, it allows you to really that becomes more effective.
Mm-hmm.
So the cause is the offensive line,
mm-hmm.
which will lead to effect of, you know, more, more stress on the defense from the possibility of quarterback run game.
6869 says it's way too difficult to build an elite offensive line. Therefore, it's a no-brainer to me. Nebraska needs an elusive mobile quarterback.
You're right, but you're wrong, because I think they have decent enough young talent. It does take some time, so that's where I would say you're wrong. Now, I wouldn't say you're wrong, but this is what my point is, that you're building, like, as long as you can keep those guys in the fold. Now, part of the reason why the RPO started and the whole spread offense started was because of the lack of offensive linemen, good offensive linemen and big physical ones, if you really study it. That's how it started. Because they couldn't recruit the same linemen at the time at Nebraska, Michigan, Ohio State, and all that, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So they had to find a way to be effective in the run game.
Give me 1.5 seconds instead of 2.5.
Right. And so what'd they do? They said, you know what? Instead of you playing receiver or tight end, you're the best athlete on the team. We're going to make it a way that we're going to try to really confuse the defense. And that way our offensive linemen they weren't winning one-on-one blocks. And so both of us are right. I think you can develop an offensive line, but you need that one class that's either mixed with portal guys and homegrown guys that could kind of be that, like, line or lines in a couple years that get you over the hump.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you look at, okay, so look at Indiana last year. You know, when Tom Allen left, they had some talent. They had been winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after COVID, you know, Michael Penix leaves, the two NFL receivers leave.
Guys, Peyton Ramsey, he left
right,
then.
And guys get drafted on defense. McFadden's in the NFL. So the fabric of that team, which was kind of built almost like James Madison, was gone. And then you started to lose. And then, you know, you go out and remember the first game against Ohio State, they were happy to lose like 22-0. Kyle McCord was the quarterback. But when you watch the game, they actually were pretty decent across the line, right? They had some size and stuff like that, right? So when Cignetti comes in, I think he brought in an offensive lineman or offensive line coach that either, I think, previously had been at Notre Dame or had been at Notre Dame recently. So he got a couple guys right out of there.
Yeah.
Boom. Then that allowed him to foster the relationships of the young guys, develop them, go into the portal again. So you need that 1-2 class that really gets you over the hump where you see a significant difference.
Yeah.
Whether it's obviously a coaching change and player change, boom, now you're off and running. Now when you're recruiting guys, right, now your eye for talent or what you're looking for is crystal clear now, right?
Because once you know what it looks like, once you see those results, it clicks.
You know the traits. You know when they get mixed into that group of guys, they will have to adapt, and it's good peer pressure. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you got a guy and say you're always the biggest guy that you played against, and say you were at like class B here or class C1, right? So, you know, you can't fault them for playing against the, you know, he's just a big kid, right? And, you know, you probably think, oh, man, I play pretty hard. I'm pretty physical. Well, you get over there with the big boys. And you see, okay, I'm not as big. I'm not the biggest guy, you know, anymore. But then also I see, okay, I was working hard, but this is the type of rate of work I need to do.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing it by your peers. And that's where I think.
And then as a coach, when you see a guy trying to figure that out, is he still competing? Is he going into a shell, or is he still trying to push forward? Like, oh crap, I do realize there's another gear, or is it, I'm not sure if it's for me.
Well, that's where you lean on your room.
Yeah.
That's where you lean on your leadership. That's what, because everybody goes through it. Yeah. Everybody makes a mistake. Everybody gets kicked out of a drill. Everybody kind of gets sat down a little bit.
You never got kicked out of drills, right?
Yeah, I did. I got kicked out of practice, out of drills. That's fine. I got chastised. I mean, hey, if you're playing any sport and you're playing hard and trying your hardest, you're going to get got and you're going to mess up. And you got to be able to just be, I mean, it's, I don't even know if you call it tough love, you're just getting coached. But there is a process. Everybody that goes through the true process, where you're not manipulating the outcome before you get here, where you go through like, man, you know, I got to really step it up. I got to really compete. Here's, you want to know a good example of it is when Coach Shorts was talking about Hunter, and it was the beginning of training camp.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, you know, he needs to be more consistent. He said something, maybe he needs to be more consistent.
Yeah.
And he needs to, you know,
let's see it every day.
See it every day, but he also needs to separate himself.
Yeah.
Right? So he could have very easily just sat back. Well, I got a nice NIL deal. I know I'm going to play. What did he do?
Exploded for a few games.
Yeah. And he came right out. And then he showed a skill set that normally, or that people didn't assume he had. 50-50 catches, make guys miss. I mean, he was kind of, you know, really, really the explosive of the two in him and Dane Key.
I'm going to go back to that text again from 68-69 that we're talking about right now. It's way too difficult to build an elite offensive line. Therefore, it's a no-brainer to me. Nebraska needs an elusive mobile quarterback. Number one, is there any reason that Iowa can be allowed to build stellar offensive lines and Nebraska can't? There's only a river separating them, right? I mean, Kansas and Kansas State have done it. Put All-Americans and borderline All-Americans down there, right? Missouri has run the ball pretty well. Those are neighboring states. If they can do it, you would think Nebraska would be able to as well. But Jay, I'll say this, you know, if you can't build an elite offensive line, then you need an elusive mobile quarterback. You know what that sounds like to me? It was 2018, 19, and 20, where, sure, Nebraska was up there in the Big Ten in rushing. There's always going to be criticism of offensive linemen because one sack a year is too many to give up to most fans. But if you're not going to be able to build an elite offensive line and you're relying on a mobile quarterback to bail you out, what you end up with more often than not is Adrian Martinez playing Superman, putting too much of the offense on his shoulders. And as we saw, it's not sustainable. You can get hot. You can have a good month, but maybe you take one too many hits. Maybe your legs get worn down a little bit too much. If your receivers aren't getting open early to get quick passes out and you're relying on the deep shots and that's your passing game, you don't have the offensive line for it. I mean, shout out to Adrian Martinez. He bailed Nebraska out of a lot of bad spots, but if you're relying on a quarterback to cover up for a mediocre offensive line, you're going to get Adrian Martinez again. And asking your quarterback to play Superman 12 plus times a year is not necessarily sustainable.
He won't finish the year. And obviously, and I think that's where the texter, you got to be very careful of how, like, well, you don't have to be careful how you word it. We want you to keep texting in. And obviously, what I'm saying is this, is that, yes, you're right. If your offensive line is porous, then yes, you need somebody that's elusive that can kind of keep you on schedule. But you want Adrian Martinez, or maybe a little bit less, you know, Adrian Martinez with a better offensive line, or with a, you know, an uptick in our offensive line, because that makes him more dangerous.
So you can play up the conventional run game and the quarterback run game instead of the hero ball bailing out.
And that didn't really do it. It was great when he did it, but you never won any games doing that. So we've already seen that. So, you know, but I also think the best thing you can do is have that, like, kind of like your ace in the hole. But what you have to really do, which Adrian probably, you know, looks back and now he's, you know, playing in the pros, is that you have to really develop him in how to play the position of quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, Adrian had a plenty strong enough arm. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But knowing, you know, how to throw timing rounds, how to throw guys open and all that, you know, he was way, way behind. Mm-hmm. But that's why it was great he was able to go to the XFL, UFL, and then obviously Detroit, and obviously the Jets and 49ers and so forth and so on. So, yes, you want an elusive quarterback. And, yes, if you have, you know, a down year with the offensive line or maybe like a bunch of, you know, freshmen and sophomores, sure. But at the end of the day, you don't want running around and all that because, you know, when you play against the teams that'll cage you in there as a quarterback, then your offense look really bad. And then you're like, oh, well, we're not calling enough good enough plays or we're not doing that. You want to make sure you cover the basics first, and then I'll allow the athletes to be the athletes.
Two more texts to get to here briefly, and then we'll take our first break of the show. Colgan J, so is Nebraska in the market for a quarterback? Did Nebraska lose both of them? Did I miss something? No. TJ Lateef still with the program, recovering from his hamstring strain, but it did sound from all reports that Nebraska was contemplating taking a transfer quarterback. Matt Rhule all but confirmed that, as did Dana Holgorsen earlier this week. And then, Jay, we'll get to this from Gus Mohawk. If Lateef isn't healthy by the bowl game, who would you start at quarterback? Gus Mohawk throws out there Jalen Gramstad or Heinrich Harburg. I think the depth chart is Gramstad and then Marcos Davila. I don't think Harburg is an option at quarterback. If Lateef can't go, sounds like he's making progress and ought to be good in 12 days. I think Matt Rhule would go with Jalen Gramstad at this point.
Yeah, I mean, obviously college experience at a different level. Mm-hmm. You know, he's kind of like a coach, kind of, you know, he's kind of been, you know, he wants to coach and all that, so he definitely would be the guy you think would start. I think guys are probably more familiar with him than obviously Heinrich Harburg at this time, and Heinrich hasn't played in a year and a half
outside of those random short yardage sneaks.
Yeah, and like hasn't really been that wouldn't really be you know, the best option. So they got guys and they got time. I mean, I'm going to assume that TJ is going to be able to play. I'm sure they're bringing him on, you know, a little slow, and he's young. And by the time it'll be a month, you know, from Iowa to when they play. So hopefully he'll be healthy enough to play and be more strategic about, or he's strategic about how much he pushes the hamstring even in the game. So, because obviously what he wants to do is put on a good showing to have a leg up to start here, or, you know, the leg up on the competition then when it comes.
12 days away, Nebraska and Utah in the Las Vegas Bowl. We'll talk more about Nebraska in the transfer portal losing a key defender. What does that mean for Nebraska? We'll talk about Malcolm Hartzog's intention to answer the transfer portal next.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
More Nebraska football in the transfer portal. Austin Norman, Jay Foreman with you. Plenty to get to yet on this topic. Appreciate everyone with your thoughts texting in Starter Heyman Jewelers text line 402-464-5685. Jay, this got put out there about four hours ago or so. From On Three, Nebraska defensive back Malcolm Hartzog plans to enter the NCAA transfer portal. Hartzog recorded the game-winning interception against Cincinnati to start this season and has totaled 108 career tackles. That's a guy that was a single digit for Nebraska who got picked on quite a bit, certainly made his fair share of big plays for the Huskers. Your reaction, your thoughts on Malcolm Hartzog transferring out of the Nebraska program when the Vortex opens?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously he's been around, made some big plays, and obviously, you know, battled through position changes, you know, and he kind of took one for the team where he was really, you know, excelling at the, I guess, safety or joker position. And then he moved out the corner, you know, a couple of years ago and didn't work out so well. And then obviously this year he had the, you know, a couple of big plays and been hurt and probably wants a, you know, a fresh start. It's his last year in college and, you know, he's able to get that red shirt back, you know, obviously playing as a true freshman, able to get that red shirt. So he's probably trying to maybe get somewhere close to home or maybe seeking more playing time. So you can't fault him for it. And I understand it.
Kind of a weird situation. We haven't really gotten much detail on why he didn't play toward the end of the year. Obviously, he was kind of banged up, but there was always that question of, you know, will he come back? Is he available? It was just kind of left out there in the wind. I don't know what went on behind the scenes. Either way, wish the young man the best. Yeah. I do think that, I know I've made this argument before, but I think it bears repeating because to me, Malcolm Hartzog is really the poster child for this. I like what Travis Fisher, the old DB's coach, did in cross training his guys, right? Learn to play safety, learn to play corner. If you can be versatile, that goes a long way. You commend, you tip your cap to a guy like Malcolm Hartzog, who had ability at both spots for doing what was best for the team. That's a guy, though, that I don't think ever got consistent reps at where I thought he would have been best in the slot with this size. And sure, it would have been a different type of mismatch. I'm sure teams would have tried to put bigger tight ends on him, and who knows how that would have gone. I still just can't get over the Kenny Moore comparisons with the size, abilities, the blitzer, and ball skills and return skills in there as well. But while I understand the benefits of cross-training is probably good in the offseason, by moving Malcolm Hartzog around, you didn't get the most out of him. Maybe it was better for the team in the moment, which is obviously what you have to do. But I think sometimes, too, when you move so many guys around like that, even in the situation of moving Sierra Wright inside to nickel this year, good for Sierra Wright being able to do it and being willing to do it. But if you have a shutdown, lockdown corner, you have a good safety, why would you make yourself, you know, worse at two positions?
Yeah.
You know, by going to a backup and moving a guy away from his natural, comfortable position. I get it, but it's just unfortunate when you get to a situation like Malcolm Hartzog's where you saw some talent, you saw some impact, but you never still feel like you got the most out of him in terms of the production.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, he's definitely a team player, and I don't know what, you know, what happened. Maybe he had a surgery and it just didn't recover fast enough. And, you know, at some point in time, the defense was doing well enough and it was like, okay, I'll come back for 2 weeks and so, or whatever he could have done. So hopefully he's healthy and, you know, he ends up on his feet and you know, continues to play in his career. But yeah, the cross training thing, I do understand it, you know, cause you kind of do it at linebacker as well. Cause you got to know outside before you, you know, as well as inside. But I think when you have a certain body type like Malcolm Hartzog, I think, you know, he's either going to be an outside corner, definitely going to be a field corner, or he's going to be, you know, in that kind of slot, you know, or joker position in safety. And, you know, probably hurt him a little bit, but I think more importantly, it's, you know, he probably did some more positives than, any, you know, than negative. And he was a good, you know, good person to have on the team. And, you know, he made some big, big plays here. So, you know, you wish them the best.
You absolutely do. That's going to be a defensive back room that was one of the strengths, if not the strength, of this Nebraska team this past year with all the upperclassmen back there. Don't want to say it's a room in flux because you got plenty of guys that have played, right? Donovan Jones, Rex Guthrie come to mind, but you're down Singleton. You're still down Hartzog now with him in the portal. Marquise Buford gone. And obviously Sierra Wright gone as well. Their names, right? They were pretty high on Jameer Khan, who played a little bit. I'm kind of high on Amari Sanders, but going to need at least another corner. I'm still team move Donnie Jones to safety and see how that works out. But that's also a position, Jay, that I don't think Nebraska needs to go nuts in the portal. You get Andrew Marshall back. There's one corner. He played pretty well at times. And you made a point, Matt Rhule, to know that you were retaining Addison Williams even when you brought in the new DC. Make him earn his money with the billions, it seems like, of bodies that you've brought in recruiting defensive backfield. You got plenty of guys.
Yeah, I mean, they got some young talent there. And that's where the hardest thing about the portal is because, you know, subconsciously everybody thinks the portal is where you find the answer. No, it's not.
Doesn't have to be.
But it's not, though. Like, overall, if you look at all the teams, the top 50 teams, you're not remedying all your problems. You're just trying to get guys in position, two or three guys to make up for the production of one. And so you go in there, you have to weigh, what do we have on our roster? Have we seen him develop? That's why practice is so important, because you want to show constant improvement, even when you got to work while you wait.
Yeah.
And if you want an example of that, look at Emmitt. But you're able to forecast, okay, what could he be next year with five times the reps in the offseason versus a guy that we're getting out that's not that much bigger, that much faster, or if at all, and not really that more productive, but he's played a couple years. Mm-hmm. So you got to really do a really good job. You got to do a good job of that, because you could bring in some players that don't meet expectations, but you can lose some players that, or before they could, they're able to fill those expectations, you know, for mm-hmm. for them. So that's probably the hardest thing to do when you got to, you know, fix some stuff and you lose production and leadership out of your defensive back room. You're not just fixing, you're not just bringing in the body types or the height, weight, speed. You're missing the people too.
Right.
Especially if they were captains or something like that.
Single digits.
Yeah, single mm-hmm. digits.
Which
or whatever.
Bunch of that defensive backfield was.
Yeah, so, and the continuity. So, mm-hmm. but, you know, Addison Williams, you know, has been through it before, and he does a good job of, you know, commanding the respect in the room. So I don't think anything else would change.
The other position where I think Nebraska will have a lot of turnover, obviously, could be the running back position with Emmett Johnson gone. Some big names in the portal, Jay. Evan Bland, who we've tried to get in contact with and work with the phones, put out a list of some interesting names at the running back position, and really all over the field. But when you look at Nebraska in the running back room, is this a situation where you think they're, you know, best served by going out and paying for a starting caliber running back? Do you bring in competition for the guys you have now? Do you let the bowl game determine how you go about that and how good you feel about what you have in the room?
Well, I think the safe way to go about it is like, let's see what happens in the bowl game. Let's go back and really evaluate bowl practices. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're evaluating all year, but
yeah,
you know, it's different when you're, you know, getting a couple reps, you know, while Emmitt is getting majority of the reps and getting a majority of the carries in the game,
yeah,
versus knowing that all you guys in there have to, you know, earn your stripes, and all you guys are going to play pretty significant snaps in the bowl game. So you got to weigh that versus, you know, maybe trying to get your boy Hollywood Smothers. I think you pick Woo! Him up just for the simple fact, NIL wise, he'd be great. Hollywood. You know, we'll see. I mean, I think you have to bring in just like the quarterback position. I think you have guys that you think can be that guy next year, right? Mm-hmm. There's somebody that you feel like, okay, he could possibly develop into a starter, and you'll be the guy next year in the running back room.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not to the magnitude of Emmitt, but serviceable. Same thing with TJ. He could develop in there, but you have to bring in the competition at the same level and see how they react to that, and then to see where the chips may fall.
You would call it an insurance policy, but it's really not, because you never know what you're getting out of the transfer portal. You can feel really good about something or someone, but until you see them lace it up, you can't call anyone an insurance policy. It's just business, right? But really what it is I think that the right word is competition.
Yeah.
You know, if your guy that's currently on the roster wins, cool. That worked out how we thought we wanted it to. If he doesn't win it, hey, look, we're good at evaluating talent in the transfer portal. Glad we went and got this guy instead of leaving ourselves exposed.
Yeah, you know, it's not the insurance policy. You know what it's called? It's like they used to have these things. An insurance is like a rider. It's like an extra add-on. Mm-hmm. And it's all based on if you exceed expectations as far as investments, or like your whole life policy. So,
sure.
I mean, that's where they need to go, and that's what they need to do. And, you know, this is going to be year four. You know, competition is thick, and you got some holes to fill by either production, which would be Emmitt, or portal, which would be Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
And then also you got holes to fill because some guys maybe just didn't live up to expectation this year. But then you have to reevaluate it because you have to give a lot of leeway to the new position coaches,
yeah,
and then the new offensive coordinator. So this is a new Dana now. It's not mm-hmm. now new in the sense of he has a new offensive line coach that he's working with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that's going to maybe not change his playbook. It's going to be different, right? Because if he feels really mm-hmm. good about what he can do pass protection wise, well, then you might see, because of the lack of, experience in production right early in the run game, you might be seeing some 12 personnel, but no backs in the, you know, like empty formation. because you feel like, you know, the protections, slide protections, man protections match up with your out tree. So, but then same thing on defense. You got a whole new coordinator. You got a whole new idea of what the player is. And so, man, it's pretty tough.
You mentioned the new coaches. It is official. The ink's dry. Roy Manning and Lonnie Teasley got their shout out tweets today on the interwebs.
They got the graphics.
They got the welcome to Lincoln graphics. They absolutely did. Lonnie Teasley gets the run game coordinator tag. Jay, has I don't think Nebraska has designated a run game coordinator since Greg Austin.
Yeah.
Not that it means a whole lot. I mean, probably title you get the guy to get him to come to town. But Teasley comes with some connection to guys from South Carolina. That could be in the portal. Jeep Wade also has a couple guys from Georgia Tech that are in the portal. But Teasley especially, I think, is a big get for Nebraska. He spent most of his career working with offensive tackles.
Oh, well, I mean, the title's title. I mean, I think everybody's going to have the blocking scheme and they got to come together. I mean, you know, there was a thing on Big Ten Network, you know, Ohio State went outside of their normal box. They have two offensive line coaches, an interior offensive line coach. And one of them is the run game coordinator and one's a tackle coach. Seemed to work out pretty good for them. Quiet as kept. When we were here at Nebraska, we did the same thing. It was Coach Tennifer and Coach Young. We just weren't able to have unlimited coaches. Coach Young was doing the special teams coach, assistant offensive line coach. But he did a lot with the tackles. Worked out pretty well for us. So long as they can bring in whoever they want to bring in. I mean, I guess if they're really good players, and say it's a total of four, you know, between those two, probably hopefully like the bet that you get two of them. I mean, mm-hmm. Or if you get all four, then sure, then you kind of problem solved. But, you know, we'll see where, you know, what they do.
Because you feel decent. I mean, it's, you know, postseason, pre-bowl, but heard some good stuff from Elijah Pritchett. Feel pretty good about him at left tackle moving forward to next year. You give Justin Evans the nod at center. Oh, then, then you're looking for three.
Then you're looking for three.
Whether that's internal or portal, obviously.
Yeah, because in mainly guard position, you know, you lose Latosky and Rocco, and then you know, then you got to think, okay, where's Gunnar Gotula?
Yeah,
I mean, he's started some games. He's at times he's played pretty decent.
Where do you think he's best? Good player.
Yeah, he's a good athlete. I haven't seen him at guard. I mean, I guess I would say right tackle. I guess I don't. I mean, that's what I would. I mean, assuming Pritchard's coming back, he's gonna be left tackle. So I'd just say right tackle. I mean, but it, like everybody else, like I said. Last offseason, everybody on this team, every single person on this team has to get better.
Yeah.
Portal or not.
Coach or player.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, everybody does. But the reason why is, like, nobody's arrived. So it's like, all right, we all got to get in here. We got to get after it because, you know, it's great to kind of pencil in guys, but you could very easily get beat out if you rested on something that you did last year at some point or at some point in time in your career at another place.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
That's Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. We'll be right back wrapping up Hour 1 of Old School on the other side. We're back wrapping up Hour 1 of Old School. Still plenty, plenty more to get to on Nebraska football. But first, got a couple tickets to give away to Nebraska wrestling coming up on, obviously, tonight against North Carolina and then on Sunday against Oklahoma State. Two tickets to give away. Jay, number between 1 and 7 for me, please.
6.
Six. Okay, texter number 6 with the correct answer to this question will earn the 2 tickets to Nebraska Wrestling's home match against Oklahoma State on Sunday. Text line 402-464-5685. How many home runs did Trey Turner hit for Team USA in the 2023 World Baseball Classic? Again, how many home runs did Trey Turner hit for Team USA in the 2023 World Baseball Classic? Texter number 6 with the right answer wins 2 tickets to Nebraska Wrestling versus Oklahoma State. Jay, I bring this up because it seems to me like Team USA Baseball is doing its best to assemble its version of the Dream Team. The lineup right now for Team USA, what it could have in, once the tweet loads, there we go. Okay, you could have across the outfield, Corbin Carroll, Pete Crow Armstrong, and Aaron Judge, who's the captain. Your infield, Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt Jr., and Bryce Terang. And then on the mound is where it really gets impressive. Pitching's kind of let the Americans down a little bit. Your starting rotation right now could be Paul Skeens, Tarek Skubal, Logan Webb, and the Minnesota Twins' very own Joe Ryan. Compare that to the last time the World Baseball Classic was played. Merrill Kelly, Adam Wainwright, Lance Lynn, and Nick Martinez.
Yeah, the only person you know is Wainwright. So
before that, yeah. In 2017, it was Marcus Stroman, Chris Archer, Danny Duffy, and Tanner Roark. Heard of any of them?
No.
2013, R.A. Dickey, Ryan Vogelsong, Derek Holland, and Gio Gonzalez.
No.
2009, Roy Oswalt, Jake Peavy, Ted Lilly, and Jeremy Guthrie.
I know Roy Oswalt.
Jake Peavy?
Yes, Jake Peavy.
Okay. Yeah. Then 2006, you had Roger Clemens, Dontrell Willis, Jake Peavy, and Al Leiter.
I like that. Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So should be a pretty stacked American team. The Dominican team looks solid, of course. Japan, the defending champions, as it was Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout in the ninth inning of that one. And Team Japan ends up winning it. We are scrolling through the answers here. Eric, it doesn't have anything to do with wrestling. It was just interesting to talk about. There's a trivia question that came from it. 35-91, you are the winner. The correct answer is five. Five World Baseball Classic home runs for Trey Turner in 2023, as the Americans end up the runner-ups, the silver medalists in the World Baseball Classic in 2023. We will go to break. Plenty more to talk about in the realm of football in the transfer portal. But first, Thursday night football. What a game last night.
Man.
How about that one? Lots to break down from the Seahawks angle, the Rams angle, what it means for the state of the NFC playoff picture. Sean Payton in position to make some history. And Kyle Whittingham is on the market looking for a new job. Not done coaching. He confirmed it. We'll talk about that and more. All ahead, hours 2 and 3 of Old School next.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.